Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are listening around the world. And we know you are. We know there are many of you in Australia, India, South Africa, Germany, the United Kingdom, Brazil, Uruguay, and around the United States. And we know that some of you will be listening to this as you gather together and have services where you are. So we want to welcome you and tell you that in this session we're going to be talking in terms of peace of mind. Really, it's more about peace, but you know, peace of mind can give you a lot of peace. And so we're going to talk about that. And the scripture that I'm going to use for this time is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Peace of mind. What a concept. So many people are wishing and searching for peace in their lives, but they do not find peace. So, who's in charge of peace anyway? Is there a place where we can buy peace, and how much does it cost? No, wait. What is peace? Perhaps this is the question we need to look at first. Really, after all, it would be a good idea to know what peace is. So I went to the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, and they gave five different definitions of peace. The first was the absence of war or other hostilities. The second, an agreement or a treaty to end hostilities. The third was freedom from quarrels and disagreement, harmonious relations, roommates living in peace with each other. The fourth was public security and order. Was arrested for disturbing the peace was the example they gave there. And the fifth definition they gave was inner contentment, serenity, peace of mind. Now each of these meanings is accurate in the English language of today and frankly very desirable. What was the meaning of peace when the prophet Isaiah prophesied that Christ was coming? Isaiah called him the Prince of Peace. Well, now, that's very high up there, so it must have been important, huh, to be the Prince of Peace. When Jesus Christ came and took on the sin of all, he repaired the breach between God and mankind. Let me explain, and I'll come back to the word peace, as used in Scripture. There was a breach of the peace that we first hear about in the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, it talks about everything was just really fine and going along well. And we have this saying in parts of America, everything was just hunky-dory. Now, I apologize to some of you around the world who don't have the slightest idea what hunky-dory means, but it means everything is okay. Everything's going along well. And I know that you Australians are laughing at me right now, but that's just the way it is, okay? But everything was just hunky-dory and going along very, very well. Now, some people would say, but why would you even talk about the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve and how man was created and this sort of thing? Let me tell you, I can talk to you about every scientific theory you've ever heard of on creation. I have even stood where Mary Leakey stood in Kenya, East Africa, where she did a dig and found a skeleton that's been come to be known as Lucy. I can tell you about all of those things, but I can also tell you that my experience in life has taught me that I'd probably better give Scripture the top place over and above what man has discovered. Because one of the things I've discovered is we keep discovering, and things that I was taught in the 1950s and then the 1960s or the 1970s or the 1980s are now being told they weren't exactly accurate. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to stick with Scripture. And I'm going to say that there was this garden that God planted east of Eden. And in this garden was this couple, and his name was Adam and her name was Eve. And things were just hunky-dory. I mean, things were going along really, really well. They had fellowship, continual fellowship with God. God was there, and God would come to where they were in the garden, and he would walk with them in the evening, and there they would be. And then there was trouble. As one of the songs here from a number of decades ago that was written, there was trouble in River City. And what happened was, Satan shows up, and he deceives, because that's what he does. You know, he's very successful at what he does, and he's a deceiver. And he deceived mankind, and mankind then made a serious error. And when mankind made that error, it severed the peace between God and mankind. And God put mankind out of the garden and said, these are the things you're going to have to do now. I mean, they had to work with the sweat of their brow. The woman was going to have pain in childbearing. These various things were coming up. I've got a lady right here who's testifying, yes, there was pain in childbearing. You can't hear her head rattling, but she's shaking it. That's happening. But you see, then a lot of things happened after that. Now, I'm going to jump past a bunch of that. But let me just say there was a breach of the peace between God and man. And I want you to think about this, the peace between God and mankind. This is really important that you understand that God desired then, continues to desire peace between himself and all his creation, especially mankind. That is his desire. If you ever wonder what his desire, and some of you have heard me say this before, if you ever wonder what his desire is for mankind, all you have to do is just look at the beginning of the book of Genesis where he tells them to be fruitful and multiply. And he blesses them. And then after he floods the earth and there are eight people who are saved on an ark, you know, it had never rained before, and poor old Noah got laughed at for 120 years while he was building the boat. And I'm sure they must have all gone. He says, well, it's going to rain. They probably all looked at him and said, what's rain? Because the earth was watered by springs that came up and the dew at night and this sort of thing. So, anyway, after the flood and they were the only ones left, then what did God say? To Noah, it says, to Noah and his sons, it said, and when it says that, it's talking about the whole family. And he said that he blessed them and told them to be fruitful and multiply. So here is the creation in the garden. Here is another chance for mankind with Noah. And what do you hear? The blessing. This is God's desire for mankind, the blessing. So therefore, The desire of Satan must be to destroy the blessing and to destroy the peace between God and mankind, which he had had some success in doing and continues to this day to have some success at. Now then, we come back to Isaiah and the Prince of Peace. Now, he speaks of this in Isaiah 9:6. This is a verse of scripture that many people are familiar with hearing because it's also in Handel's The Messiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There it is. Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace because he restored peace between God and mankind if an individual would accept the restoration. Now, this acceptance by the individual is accomplished by simply accepting Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. Now, let's just look at a little scenario here. Some guy decides that he wants to marry some gal. In our culture, what he often does is he'll go out and he will buy for her a diamond ring. And he will offer to her that ring. And sometimes when he does that, he'll be very nervous, he'll have very sweaty palms, and his hands will be cold, and he's going to wonder, what is she going with? What's her response going to be? He may not be confident that she will say, yes, I will marry you. Now, let me ask you a question. He has purchased that ring for her. Is it her ring? Yes, he bought it for her. It's his gift, his pledge to her, isn't it? Now, if she rejects the ring by not accepting it as a part of a covenant between them, the ring was still hers. She just wouldn't possess it because she didn't accept it. That's what we talk about when we're talking about we have to accept that Jesus is Lord and Savior to restore that peace covenant between God and mankind. In this case, it's each member of mankind. Now, does the prospective groom, does he want her to have the ring? Obviously he does. We don't know how long he's been paying on that ring, how much he paid for that ring, but he paid a price for that ring. And he offers that ring as a free gift to her. And she can accept it or she can reject it. This is what Christ has done for all mankind. You see, so the acceptance by the individual is accomplished by simply accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Anyone who would do this would then be accepting or opening this present, the gift Jesus had given them, but they must open the gift, in other words, receive Jesus Christ. If a gift is never accepted, even though it is theirs, they never receive the benefit of it. You must accept a gift to get the benefit of it. If I bring a gift to you for your birthday or for a Christmas present or just because I just like you, and I give you a gift and you never open the gift, you never utilize the gift, you never take advantage of what it is, then while it belongs to you, you will never benefit from it. This is what happens when people do not come into this lordship and saviorship with Jesus in that relationship. It's been offered. It's there. But they get to accept or reject it. You and I do. Everybody does. But God does not withhold the gift, but the gift must be accepted. Now let's talk about true peace for a minute. The word in Hebrew has multiple meanings. It is shalom. Peace, but a much deeper meaning than we would think of. It means nothing missing, nothing broken. When you trace that word down to its very beginning, it means nothing missing, nothing broken. Now, I want you to hold on to that thought in your mind. Because you're going to, in a minute, I'm going to compare that with the definition from today's English dictionary that we were using. Now, those who have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, there is, to them, there is nothing missing, nothing broken in their relationship with God. It was and is as it was in the Garden of Eden for them so long ago. That's what the restoration is. That's what the peace is between God and man. You know, garden living seems so foreign to us at first because we are accustomed to the rules of the world run by Satan, the deceiver. So it just doesn't seem, it seems strange to us. It's like, this is weird stuff. Our spirits are restored, but our souls, our minds, take a little longer. Our minds must be renewed, Scripture tells us. You see, our thinking is accustomed to relying only on our senses. You know, what we can see, what we can hear, what we can touch with, you know, feel, taste, whatever. Our five senses is what we tend to rely on, and the dominating rules of the world. Now, the believer must learn to overcome the gravity of the world and replace it with the freedom of their authority over the world as a part of God's kingdom of the blessing. Now, in some other messages, I'll talk to you about the freedom that you have and the authority you have as a believer, as someone who walks in this nothing missing, nothing broken relationship with God. There's nothing missing and nothing broken. Now, let's go back to our original definition. It said, in today's, you know, just the way we would normally use it, the absence of war or hostility. Is there anything missing or anything broken if people are not involved in war and hostility with one another? No, there's a complete relationship, isn't there? How about, then, an agreement or a treaty to end the hostilities? Well, that agreement and treaty to end the hostilities comes when someone accepts what Jesus did for them, and they are therefore restored to the nothing missing, nothing broken relationship with God. The third definition they used was freedom of from quarrels and disagreement, harmonious relationship. You see, nothing missing, nothing broken again. There's harmony there. There is acceptance of each other. Then it says public security and order. Now, I love this one. It says someone was arrested for the disturbing the peace. You see, public security and order in the kingdom of God is exactly that. You know that you have safety. You know there are angels watching out for you. You know that God knows even the numbers of the hairs on your head. That's how much He cares. The Scripture tells us that a sparrow cannot even fall from the sky that God is not aware of it. So He's very aware of what's happening. Now, there are times when you might find that you feel alone. Remember something, there is a deceiver who will want you to think that. But in point of fact, you are never alone. As a matter of fact, if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit of the Godhead in you. How could you be alone? The Holy Spirit is there. Then, the last one they talk about is inner contentment, serenity, and they say peace of mind. How much more peace of mind could you have than to know, no matter what comes, no matter what is happening, you have nothing missing, nothing broken, simply because God said so. And no matter what it looks like, the Scriptures say that 10,000 will fall at your right hand and at your left, but it will not come near you. Now, of course, Satan will always try to convince you there's going to be a disaster any minute. I mean, he is probably the author of the Chicken Little theory that the sky is falling. But you and I, being in Christ, have nothing missing. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. I will tell you, that takes getting used to. You just don't step into that. Any more than if you walked into a foreign country. If you walked into a foreign country, now let me ask you. If you walked into that country and you didn't speak the language and you didn't know the customs, but you knew that you were going to be living there, there'd be a learning curve, wouldn't there? I mean, you'd have to learn about that the language that was spoken to see if it, you know, to learn the meanings of the words. It would be necessary to have a commitment to do that. But what if you had somebody who was with you all the time, guiding you and helping you? That's what the Holy Spirit does. All the time. You are never alone once you have come back into what God originally meant to be there in that garden so long ago. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Every need they had was met. You say, but now we're in the world system today. How do I know what's going to happen? I can't see where this is going to come from or how this is going to work out. That, my friend, is where your faith comes in. Now, does that mean you just sit down in a corner someplace and vegetate? No. But what it means is the Scripture promises that He will direct your steps. So you ask Him, direct my steps. Show me. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. The Scripture talks about to get understanding, to get wisdom, how important this is. And I always like to point this out. When you're in the Proverbs and it talks about wisdom, it says, wisdom she was there at the beginning. I always found that really interesting because of all the people who say how Scripture is so anti-female, and it says, wisdom she was there at the beginning. So, in learning, in understanding, with nothing missing, nothing broken, you see, the reason it's so difficult to navigate through the world system is there are all sorts of things missing, and there are all sorts of things that are broken. And if you don't believe that, turn on a television, turn on a radio, listen to the news. They're going to tell you everything that's missing and everything that's broken. Now, fortunately, we don't have to develop milk cartons. In the United States, we have milk cartons sometimes, or we used to, that if a child had been abducted, they'd put the picture of the child on a milk carton because they knew that milk cartons were going to go into almost every home. And so we don't put the picture of a child on a milk carton and say, this child isn't missing. We'd think that would be kind of silly. Or to see a news interview where the person out, the reporter, would say to somebody, put a microphone in front of the mother and father and say, how does it feel that nothing bad's ever happened to your child? Fortunately, those are supposed to be the odd events, but they're out there and they bring fear with them and they bring concerns with them. But we know, as believers, that we are protected because there's nothing missing, nothing broken between us and God. And that is what peace is. And that's why Jesus is the Prince of Peace, because He restored that condition between God and mankind. Yes, I know. It takes some getting used to. It takes some time, and that time must be spent in the Word of God with people who are seasoned in the Word so that you can learn and they can talk to you about it and you can discuss it. But that is God's desire for each and every person. And then for people to move on to where other people can discuss it with them. You can actually discuss it with others, because we're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. Not just in the biological sense, but in the spiritual sense as well. We are to multiply and to be fruitful. And in the doing of that, the Word says that He will direct our steps. Do you think that in the garden they had to worry about where they walked or where they stepped or what they ate or anything of that sort? No concern for that. I'm not saying to you to go out here and close your eyes and cross the interstate and see if anybody hits you on a big major highway, but because He would never direct you to do that. Now, however, Satan may come and say, now, if you have enough faith, you could do that. You see, because he will twist, he will deceive. But God has provided you peace of mind. Do you know all the spiritual battles occur within that, those few inches between your right ear and your left ear? What we do and how we handle that and our knowledge of that will let us go through life here with Him, in service to Him, knowing that we are at peace and that we are peacemakers. We make peace. That's what we do. And we don't have to carry a gun to do it. Now, we have a sword. It's called the Word of God. But we who are believers are carriers of the peace. He has entrusted the knowledge of peace to us. Takes some getting used to, yes. But you can have, do have, or will have, it's up to you, that kind of peace because Jesus said you do, because the Word of God says you do. And if you put your faith and confidence there, it will pan out every time. Pay no attention to what it looks like. Pay no attention to what your any fears that you might have or your thinking. Just focus totally on Christ, and it will happen. Peace of mind. If you don't have this peace of mind, pray this prayer with me right now. Or if you've kind of slipped away from it and you say, boy, you know, I think I might have been deceived. I hadn't thought about this for a while, and now I realize that that maybe I need to kind of get back in line with this. Well, just pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, go ahead. He's not trying to keep people out. Understand, you don't have to hide from Him. Besides, you can't. He knows where you are. Just pray, Heavenly Father, I come to Your throne boldly because Your Word says I can. And I'm not only sorry, but I am changing my ways. I am Yours. Jesus is both my Lord and my Savior. I accept Him completely. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer with me, welcome to the family. You're in the family of God. And now there is nothing missing, nothing broken. If you need some help in understanding this, if you need some help in learning about this, we'll be glad to be of assistance to you. Send me an email. I know you can hear about sending me an email because if you're hearing this, you're on the internet. Send me an email, thesojourner@sojournershub.org. We'll work with you. We'll get back with you. We'll help you in any way that we possibly can. Feel free to do that. We'd love to hear from you. Now, with this blessing, this will bring to an end, a conclusion, this time together on peace of mind. The blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours, by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.